This is Freedom ERP with another AboveTopSecret.com member podcast, and I realized it's been a wee while since I posted a podcast, and I thought you people might be missing my tone. So, hey, another podcast. Just want to maybe give a quick roundup on what I think's been going on in UK politics, what I think is important, and some of the things that I just want to talk about. So, first off, I was just going to delve into a by-election that's coming up next week, which will be sometime starting the 7th of June. So I suspect the by-election will be on the 10th of June. And it's because the Shadow Home Secretary of the Conservative Party, David Davis, decided to resign over the government getting the vote to detain terrorist suspects for 42 days without sort of having to give them huge access to legal rights and to legal representation so that the security services can do investigations. An interesting subject on this one, civil liberties. I suppose in the UK we've always been regarded as a place of democracy, civil liberties, and we have the concept of habeas corpus, which is show me the body, and that at any time a person's legal representatives can turn around and say, show me the body, so to speak. And what we're doing with this legislation would be to sort of take that away potentially. And people are saying, oh, but the police and the security services need all this because that's the only way that we can protect our country. Interesting. Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. I suspect the reason that we need this legislation is because of some of the interesting actions that senior politicians around the world, particularly George Bush, ex-Premier Blair and Prime Minister Brown, with our escapades in the Middle East and Afghanistan. That's probably the major reason why we need it. You could probably make the argument to say if we hadn't done those things, would we need this kind of legislation? I'm not entirely sure, but it is something interesting that David Davis has decided to resign and seek re-election. And the impression I'm getting is this is some way away from official Conservative candidate. But what is interesting is that the other two major parties in the United Kingdom, the Labour Party and the Liberal Democrats, have decided not to put a candidate up as well. Occasionally that happens when there are sort of deep issues, or maybe other people don't want to get involved in the political mudslinging that might take effect from this one. And it's you wouldn't be unfair to bet that David Davis is probably going to get elected. He hasn't got any serious competition here, so that certainly is interesting. The other thing I wanted to talk about is something that affects not only people in the UK but across the world, is the price of petrol. And for any Americans listening to that, I'll translate petrol to be gasoline. We call it petrol in Europe, petroleum spirit. Certainly in the UK now, it's running probably about £1.18, £1.20 for a litre of unleaded fuel. Dreadnoughts, that's probably, probably about £7 or £8 a gallon. Compared to potentially what in the States, maybe you're paying maybe £3 or £4 a gallon. So guess what? We think we're certainly hard off over here. And I notice many people have been arguing about, well, what's causing this one and blaming governments for this. Well, I'm not entirely sure you can blame governments for this. Certainly they take a percentage in tax, absolutely. That's how they fund a lot of public services. But I think the real reason for increases in the cost of petrol based on the cost of crude oil, which I think recently has hit a high of $146 a barrel. And to me, there's two things driving this one. One, there certainly is an imbalance between demand and supply, particularly countries like China and probably other countries in the developing world are probably having huge demands for crude oil-based products, which I suspect is driving prices up to a degree. Certainly, it is interesting that OPEC are claiming that they can increase production, but maybe not at the levels that would be needed to drive the price back down. And certainly, I suppose one of the largest oil producing countries in the world, Iraq, is probably still not up to full capacity of what it can and can't produce. I suspect there is also an element of profiteering from the OPEC countries. The higher the price for a barrel of crude, the more money they make for every gallon that they pump out of the ground. Interestingly, I think a huge factor in the price of crude oil is speculation by financial institutions or by hedge funds, basically speculating on the price of oil. And I think they're speculating the price up, so therefore it's in their interest to talk the price up so they make money on it. And I have seen some things in the last couple of days. Potentially the price of gasoline in the States could drop to $2 a gallon if there was legislation put in place to stop or hamper speculation. Interesting to see whether that's going to get through or not, or whether it just won't happen and it'll be prevaricated on and it'll basically just die on the vine. But certainly it's interesting that the people who are probably speculating on the price of crude oil and then petrol and all the other products probably don't have to worry that much about making their pound, their dollar, their euro, their yen, or whatever currency stretch. Because these people are probably fairly wealthy anyway, and an increase in the price of petrol or food doesn't really impact them. Interestingly, I'd also say I think the petrol companies are probably somewhat contrite in this as well. Yeah, they're probably making more money, because isn't it interesting, certainly in the UK, how the price of petrol at the pump seems to go up in line with increases in the price of crude. Now, from information and from knowledge of the refining industry, there's probably a several week lag between crude and petrol at the other end coming to the forecourt. So why is my price of gasoline or petrol dependent on yesterday's price of crude, maybe not the price that was maybe 8, 10, 12 weeks ago? So I suspect there's an element of profiteering in there. And ultimately, the governments could do something by dropping taxes. Hey, then we get into the issue of, well, how do we pay for social services and public services? But hey, I think in the short term, we're going to have to live with fairly high prices of petrol and crude oil, which then leads on to the cost of living going up all over the place. I'd probably take a slightly more optimistic view that I suspect that crude at some stage will start to come down. I suspect it will continue to go up. I would suspect probably $200 a barrel may not be unrealistic, but I suspect if recessions bite harder, maybe economic production is dropped back, demand may drop back, and then hopefully the price of crude will drop back. But hey, we'll have to see whether I'm right or not. And I'm also interested in funding and expenses for representatives or for my MPs. I noticed that the leader of the Scottish Labour Party has had to resign over allegedly a scandal over expenses and funding, which is in thing that has been dominating certainly a lot of UK politics for a while. Several people have had to say fall on their swords or have to take retribution from parliamentary standards authorities because they've not declared things in party contributions or in the expenses that they've been claiming from the state. And that's, I think, a very interesting subject. I believe that MPs' expenses should be 100% accountable. I don't believe they should be able to claim for anything unless they have a bona fide receipt. That should be open to private and absolutely private review by any citizen. Should be able to review that, and there should be an ability for any member of the country to say, hang on a minute, I don't think this is a fair and appropriate expense for an MP to be claiming, and that goes to a panel for adjudication on. This is my money they're spending. I expect them to be as diligent with it as possible. And this thing of having to claim potentially up to £24,000 a year to have a second home because the House of Commons is in London. Let's put that in perspective. There are probably a substantial number of people in the United Kingdom who don't even earn £24,000 a year. There are probably families out there with one, two, three, four children who, you know, live their lives, do everything they need to do on substantially less than £24,000 a year, yet MPs feel it's appropriate that they have a up to a £24,000 limit for a second home in London. I must confess, I'm inclined to agree with the view of, well, let's build them some kind of barracks or some kind of place where they can all go. They're all the same. Doesn't matter whether you're a cabinet minister, whether you're an MP, whether you're a senior MP. You stay in the same place. They'll all have the same things in every room. Guess what? That's my money. I'm fairly harsh on this one. My money, I expect it to be absolutely open to 100% scrutiny. In my business life. My expenses are public domain across the whole company. Anybody can review my expenses. If someone's unhappy, I'm more than happy to defend or justify them. And if ultimately management were to deem one of my expenses weren't appropriate, hey, I'd have to accept it and smile about it. So it's my money. It is interesting that MPs seem to be missing the point of what people are trying to say about this. When I did listen to a comment on a BBC radio show called Any Questions, and that was a subject that was raised, and certainly one of the panelists, I believe, who is the president or the head of the UKIP party in the United Kingdom, said MPs are really out of touch with what people think about them. And I must confess, not often I agree with anything that UKIP say, but I had to agree with that comment. I believe our politicians are grossly out of touch with what people feel about them. And I think a lot of the constituents would feel that giving politicians not only a fairly significant salary, and most of these people earn a good five-figure sum for being a politician, plus all their expenses. I suspect some of them could well be earning nearly six figures a year. There aren't very many people in the United Kingdom who are earning six figures a year. I think politicians really ought to look around and say most of their constituents will not be earning anything like the kind of money they earn. What makes them so special? I think the only way we can solve that one is we all have to exercise democratic options. And at the next elections, people have got to look around and say, well, am I going to vote for the status quo, or am I going to look around and maybe find people who are saying, no, politicians need to be much more accountable. I firmly believe that's a way people should be going, should be thinking about that one. When you get the opportunity, I advocate grilling your representatives at any level. They've been elected. That's fundamentally the point here. Therefore, they need you to vote for them the next time around. Well, just coming up on 12 minutes, slightly longer than the 10 minutes I was planning for, but hey, I went off on one. Hey, it's good fun. And certainly just one of the things I just want to promote, a show that I always listen to, is the Above Politics show. Certainly download that to my podcast fairly, my podcast, golly, I download that to my iPod fairly regularly, and always like the interesting views that they come up with. So, hey, I'm putting a plug in there for the Above Politics show. Anyway, this is Freedom ERP with a Above Top Secret Member podcast. If you've liked what you've heard on this podcast and you want to know more about me as an individual or the Above Top Secret Network, go to www.abovetopsecret.com.